Thank you, Poppy. It's 27 minutes after 7 here at DC 101. The Greasy Hands. You read about that woman who landed the plane when her husband dropped of a heart attack. He slumped over the controls, and she managed to land that thing with help from the tower. Somebody else flew up there in a similar plane and guided her in. Her husband didn't make it. I don't know. I still feel like this happens all the time. These guys flying, and the women there, you know, they sit there panic-stricken instead of giving a guy mouth-to-mouth restitution. But anyway, she made it. She's alive and well, mainly because she had help from that other plane, but I tried to do in a still that way. The perfect crime. Murder. See, it got to the point where Estelle not only got on my nerves, not only were we incompatible, but I hated her stinking guts. I mean, I hated the air she breathed. I hated the space she took up. I hated it. You know, it was just one of those things where the relationship had just descended. And I figured if I got a divorce, she'd take me to the cleaners. So I knew the only way out was murder.
Murder? But how? How to do it without risking my freedom?
Then it hit me. A foolproof way. I'd take her up in our two-seater airplane. And then bail out, leaving her at the controls after destroying the radio. Sooner or later, she'd try to land. Sooner or later, she'd either run out of fuel and crash. I mean, it was perfecto. They'd find her gnarled body in there. And then I'd be wringing my hands when the police called me. I told her not to take that plane up by herself. I told her! Oh, God! It would be perfect. Of course, she'd be part of the metal, smashed at hundreds of miles an hour. I didn't see how it could fail. I got her up there about 8,000 feet.
I said, Estelle, you know what? I don't like this radio. It's noisy. And I took a screwdriver and I jammed it in the radio and... She said, what are you doing? I said, you know what this cockpit needs, Estelle? Needs a little ventilation. And I hit the cockpit release and there we were. And this nice little fresh air. She said, my God, what are you doing? I said, I'm leaving you here. I'm leaving you here. I've hated your stinking guts. It's over, Estelle. It's done. Kaput. You should have given me the divorce when I asked for it. But no. Well, sayonara, baby. And I stood up in that seat with my sheet on. And I hit the silk.
And as I floated down, I watched that plane wobble along.
Yeah, I even slowed it down, so it was right at stall speed. I got a chuckle to myself as I tried to light a camel through the descent of that parachute.
Wouldn't you know, when I hit the ground, there was a highway patrolman right there. I thought, oh, God, no.
He said, what happened?
I thought fast.
I said, we had engine trouble, officer. Engine trouble, and we only had one parachute up there. And my wife, God bless her, my wife made me take the chute and jump. Oh, God, I miss her. I love that woman. He said, don't worry, buddy, don't worry. Sit tight. Well, he got on the radio. He said, attention, this is one Bravo Niner. We have a plane with a... He said, buddy, she know how to fly. I said, no. We have a plane with a non-pilot at the controls. Please dispatch local airport. What is it, a Piper Cherokee Model 77B? Roger.
My God. He rushed me to the airport. They got a guy that had the same exact plane. He said, come on, buddy. Maybe your wife will be reassured by your face. I'm thinking, oh, God.
We got up there. We flew alongside Estelle. The pilot looked at me and said, how come she keeps flipping you the finger? I said, I think she's hysterical.
Wagged his wings and made a gesture that she should follow. She dropped in behind us. I said, well, let me see. Will this plane do any loop-the-loops here? And I grabbed the stick out of his hand.
Then we can turn this thing upside down. He said, what are you nuts?
Of course, Estelle was right behind us. I couldn't believe it. The airport was in sight and Estelle was right behind us at proper attitude, with her face set in a grim expression. I'm thinking, oh, God, attempted murder. They're going to get me on attempted murder. I said, please, Estelle, blow the landing. Please, Estelle, blow the landing. I'm thinking this to myself all the while. I'm saying, oh, God, I hope she makes it. I love that woman. I love her. I love her so much. And the pilot said, yes, sir, I understand how you must feel. So sure enough, we touched down, no problem. Here comes Estelle, wobbling. Yeah!
one of the wings hit the ground. The plane flipped half over. Rescue crews were dispatched. I said, let me go first. She's probably hysterical. Let me be the first one to see her. And I ran up there, and she was climbing out of the cockpit. She looked at me with hate in her eyes. Before she could say anything, I let her have a right to the chin. Bam! Knocked her right out. Then I picked her up in my arms, and I started carrying her to the car. Everybody said, she all right? You think we had to take her to the hospital? I said, no, she just fainted. She's fine. She got out just fine, but she fainted. I think she's just kind of like relieved to be back on the ground. Okay. Hey, thanks for your help. I really appreciate it. I'll just take her home from here. That's okay. No problem. They said, well, you want it? I said, no, no problem. I got to run. Okay. We'll see you later. Okay. Yeah. All right. No problem. Okay. Yeah. Hey, we really appreciate it. Officer, thanks for all the help. Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye. Yeah. I'll see you later.
And I took off. Finally, I got her home. I carried her out of the car, and I laid her down on the kitchen floor. Then I took my pants off and sat there in my nasty underwear with the ball game on the TV, scratching my belly. Sure enough, Estelle came too. She stood up in the kitchen. She walked into the living room. She said, my God, you tried to kill me. We were in a plane, and you jumped out of the plane, and then the plane had to be landed, and I crash landed. I said, what are you, nuts? You've been hallucinating. Now shut up and get me.